Get ready. It's time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
Coming up on today's show, we get a quick overview of the PGA Show, and we welcome industry insider Jack Curry. So stay tuned to get ready as you tee it up with Keith Jones. Welcome to the show. So glad to be along this hour. We obviously had a great PGA Show. We want to talk about a little bit of a recap, just in general, just to kick things off from the standpoint as in the weeks ahead, we got a lot more to talk about. But one of our industry guys, one of our contributors, one of our longtime guys that we've known now, I guess, according to Jack Curry, 5 years into this, how you doing? Jack, of course, the mastermind behind two under and so many other things. And, you know, this guy recently, just very recently, had another hole in one. So I've never had one. And this guy has like a handful now. I don't know. Curry, what are you doing? You're always on the golf course. Welcome to the show.
Oh, thanks, Keith. It's great to be on again and always a great time to talk to you. Now I got lucky. The hole got in the way. It was one bounce and slam dunk, baby. It was 140 yards and the winds were blowing 30 mile an hour. And, you know, lo and behold, I aimed left and hit it, and it actually hit in the middle of the club face, believe it or not.
Wow, that almost sounds like a little version of Caddyshack, a little amended thing there when this big storm came through and the ball went in the hole.
Yeah, exactly. Well, it wasn't tin cup, but it definitely something like that. It definitely could have been, who knows, Happy Gilmore, who knows.
Yeah, Caddy, definitely. Yeah, that Caddyshack right there. I'm telling you, it's Caddyshack right there. Yeah. But it's great to see probably. You in Orlando. You're all over the place. And, you know, this is one time of the year when I get to actually see you, because usually you are at, I don't know, the Midwest Golf Show. You just do so much road work. It is amazing.
Yeah, just getting back from the PGA, and then we're headed next Friday. We're headed right to Chicago for the menswear show, Chicago Collective, which is the largest menswear collective of fine men's haberdasheries throughout the United States every year. They run it every February, every August, and we're there, and that's our second biggest show to the PGA.
Wow. Okay. Chicago in February. I hope you have your winter jacket. My friends in Chicagoland that have been in Orlando for a while, like Joe, tell me how the weather has been unbelievably erratic in Chicago.
Crazy. I mean, it was 65 degrees not even 2 months ago, and now it's going to be a wind chill of -5.
That's exactly how things go in a place like Chicago, our third largest city.
Yes, it's just, exactly. but we wear our 2 under long johns when we're walking between the 3 or 4 blocks from the hotel to the market, the menswear market, and then we obviously have a knit beanie on and a down jacket and everything zipped up nice and tight.
Well, yeah, the knit beanie. So 2 under, as you mentioned, has been expanding the line. So
we have.
Let's talk a little bit more about what we saw at the show and also what you guys are up to.
Well, obviously, you saw the new collections. We have so many fun new collections. For spring this year, we've got 22 new prints and or solids colors with the heathers that came out. And the response was overwhelming. I mean, it's just, we're very blessed to have the client base that we have who continually come back to us. And they love the fact that every season, you know, both seasons, spring and summer and fall holiday, they get to see two different collections, which gives it something fresh for them. You know, everybody's going to buy blacks and navies and reds and blues and whites and grays. But, you know, when you can throw in these other prints, it not only gets the men excited about it, but it gets the women excited for the men to be able to buy more, and they buy them as gifts, not only for their husbands or significant others, but they buy them for dads and brothers and uncles and you name it. Every man in the family is starting to get 2 under, which is good for us because it continually allows us to grow. And the loyalty from the PGA of America team of country clubs and shops throughout the country continues to grow. We're over 4,000 doors now, And we thank them because they've been there from day one since we started in January of 2014 to today. They continually have come back to the well and reordered and bought more product and kept saying to us, would you please introduce more new products? And of course, you're familiar with the new luxury teas that we have, which are doing extremely well. And now we added the decorated program there so we can put country club and event program logos on them. Then we added the Bodie shorts, if you remember that, just about 2 years ago, in the fall, I guess it would have been. So it really only a year and a half of selling. And then we expanded that category and added the 2-in-1 juicy short. So, of course, pickleball and paddle tennis and working out and just people who want to paddleboard or, you know, go into the water. They want something that has the same Joey pouch that we make for the swing shift, which is our number one seller, but something that was quick dry. So we put that inside this beautiful fabric on the outside with two pockets, a drawstring and a zippered back pocket. So if you're a water guy and you're in a boat and paddleboarding or whatever, you can never worry about losing your fob, your key fob, because there's a zipper pocket. You cannot lose it as long as you remember to zip it up. But we added 10 new different solids and prints in that. And that's the chromatic. If you remember, I told you about that last year when we first introduced it. You saw it in the one color. We did it in a royal blue, and if you get it wet, it had flowers on it. Well, we added two more colors in that. We added a black that turns into palm trees, and then we added a fiesta, a coral that has a Mexican theme on it when you get it wet. And then once it dries, it goes back to a solid. So it's a lot of fun. The response to that was really, really good. And then we added the brand new loungewear collection called the Butterflex. And it is butter soft, like our T-shirts. And it is an amazing product. And we did a quarter zip hoodie. And then we did a nice loungewear pant. No shorts in that one, just a pant. And that was very well received. Just three colors to start. If the response continues as it has shown after this this show here, I think they'll probably add some more colors for next year or maybe even next fall. Depends on the delivery, of course.
Jack, who's coming up with all this design? Who's the ingenuity slash wearable person that's behind all this stuff?
Well, you met him at the show. His name is James Harris. We call him Rocky because that's his nickname. And it's James Rocky Harris. And he graduated, you know, I think, third or fourth in his class from BYU. And he's a guy that you and I will look at a picture and he'll see it six different ways. We see it one way. He's a brilliant young man, has a great intuition for design and or functionality combined. And he knows, you know, how to put it all together. And then he has these great jargon that he goes with. It's on the boxes and the descriptions that we put in there and comes up with these great names that we have. So he continues to add new products, and he listens. He comes to the show. He's not necessarily there for sales. He's there for hearing what the customers had to say. How'd you do with our product? What are we missing? What do we need to do? What do we need to add? What do we need to delete? And he listens really well, and he's done a great job, and he continues to find new colors and products for us that keep the interest of the customers, but more importantly, the clientele, their clientele, of course, the members of the clubs and all these public courses, all the consumers who come in there, they see these, and it's been, we're very fortunate they continue to buy it. And we signed a new 3-year contract again with Ricky. So he continues to be our global ambassador. And fortunately for us, Ricky does not only a good job for himself, but he brings a lot of other PGA players, NFL players, baseball players, friends of his in the professional athlete category, all into our fold and who are buying product from us, which is great.
He's talking about Ricky Fowler, of course. He wears a lot of orange because of the Oklahoma State tie-ins. But, yeah, Ricky's an interesting guy. I've been at golf outings with him, which is great because he's more casual than if he's playing, yes, you know, playing in tournaments when he's not quite – you can't talk to the guys as much as you would like, well, after rounds and such. But, you know, it's great to see him in action and do things. So you guys did a great job picking an ambassador like that too. And the fact that you got him to re-up speaks volumes too.
It does, and we're really proud to be his partner. I mean, listen, the kid is an amazing young man. I would say that I would put him in the top 2 or 3 marketable professional athletes out there from the golf sector. And you know, everybody's like, oh, Ricky's not winning. Listen, Ricky doesn't necessarily have to win. He's there. He's a winner when he's on the golf course. People love him, whether it's kids, whether it's women or men. People just love him. He's gracious. He's the younger version of an Arnold Palmer kind of ambassador. He wants to shake hands. He wants to say hello. He doesn't turn down doing autographs. Even when he's had his worst round, he'll walk over and still sign autographs. And that takes a lot of composure, right?
Right.
You know, you talk about these professional athletes, and they turn you away, and they get very bitter. Well, he's the opposite. And I think a lot of it has to do with that he's matured with it. He started young. Remember, I mean, he was so young when he started. He's only 34 years old. But now that he's married, and Allison's probably calmed him down a little bit, but, I mean, he's got two little girls, and, you know, he's a dad. And he gets how important it is if a kid's reaching out and has got something to sign, take the time to do it for him, and he does it.
Yeah, I think that's volumes right there, because having covered professional sports and athletes over the years, as many years as I have, not just golf, but the NBA and the NHL and the NFL specifically, you see a lot of different guys that don't get it. You know, I mean, Phil didn't get it for the longest time, right?
Now, you're right.
He's a lot more user-friendly than he used to be, but he used to be standoffish and so much more, you know, it's what you expected of him. But when that switch finally goes on, they realize what it's about. You know, it's a game changer for sure.
It is, yeah. And again, like, we're very blessed to have him on board. We love that he's a great partner. And, you know, he's a guy that's going to – does he move the needle for us? Hugely, no. But just having him there adds credibility to the brand. And, of course, it just continues to allow us to grow our business. But, yeah, the business has been good. I mean, we continue to grow. We moved a lot of the tariffs affected us a little bit back in the spring of 25. We moved a lot of our merchandise down to our Waco warehouse to protect us. So we're in stock in two warehouses, our corporate warehouses in Delta in British Columbia in Vancouver. And then, of course, we have a Waco, Texas, which is a third-party warehouse. And we ship out of there in the U.S. So we're doing a really good job from a logistics standpoint. We have plenty of stock. Really proud of our ownership. You know, Dave, Joey, and Rocky invest very heavily in the product to make sure that we're in stock. We try to be. I mean, there's times last year I couldn't believe, like, the navies and the blacks and the grays. I mean, people must be buying them and for gifts, but in a bucket full at a time, because we were out at one point of some navies and grays, which we have never been out of. So it was good. It's a good problem to have. The guys have adjusted properly and continue to grow the business properly.
Well, I tell you, one guy who does move the needle is my guest this hour. And I say this because I never thought we'd be talking about men's underwear, a.k.a. base layer, you know, for as much as we have over the years. But Jack Curry is a guy who's got his finger on the pulse of what's going on in the industry. And if you can sell underwear in the golf world, you can sell a lot of things. So kudos to you, Jack.
Thank you, Keith.
Well,
appreciate that.
Yeah, well, you know, it comes sincerely because, I mean, I see you in action, but I also, you know that you are a businessman, first and foremost, and you understand how business works, and it makes a huge difference. And I'm astounded because this year's PGA show was one of the biggest ever merchandiser-wise.
It
blows me away that it was pretty much oversold, and you got vendors out in the hallways. And so, I mean, it's great that Mark Simon and the gang over at Global Exhibitions, formerly Reed, were able to pull all that together and such to me. But still, how many more companies can be involved in the game of golf? I know it's infectious. I know I say that because we're involved with the game. We have been for a long time. But we're with Jack Curry this hour, one of our insiders, industry insiders. We'll be back after this break.
Hi, this is John O'Hurley reminding you you're listening to Tee It Up with Keith Jones. I haven't been this excited since I discovered I couldn't lick my elbow.
Hey, everyone. This is Dr. Greg Rose from TPI. And even when I don't have time to work out, I always make time to tee it up with Keith Jones.
We're with Jack Curry, getting to spend some time. He's a guy, a road warrior. You want to talk about somebody that knows how to grow a business and is out and about on a regular basis, really get his finger on the pulse of what's going on. It is this hour's guest. We're talking about PGA Merchandise Show, but Jack is heading to Chicago, and then you usually, how many shows are you doing in a given year? I mean, how many are on the docket now for 26?
Yeah, between 15 and 20 a year.
Okay, so that's one every couple of weeks.
Almost one a month.
Yeah, more than that.
Yeah, it is.
Almost two a month, right. But yeah, right. That's what I said, one every other week.
Yeah, well, we fortunately, I brought Jay in, my son, who's a PGA pro and teaching pro, and of course he came to the dark side, I like to say, the sales side here 4 years ago, and is doing a phenomenal job with me, and it gives us a chance to conquer and divide, so I don't necessarily bring him with me a lot of the major shows. We have to be both here, but, you know, he went and did the show for the Sports Inc. show at the beginning of December when I was away. So he was very fortunate to have Jay, because he's been a great asset to Jay Curry Marketing and, of course, the brands we represent, because he has a passion for the product. He wears it just like everybody else does and believes in it and does a good job and he understands both sides of the table, since he was a golf pro and ran pro shops and golf courses and things of that nature. And then at the same time, he knows how to sell them, because he knows what they do need and what they don't need.
See, that's invaluable in the industry. It's not just, I know it's invaluable to you, and it's, you know, the apple and the tree thing from your standpoint, and Jay's a very, very sharp guy, having had side conversations that Jack doesn't know about from that standpoint. But, you know, this is what the industry needs. You know, it's really understanding it, not trying to get into the industry. And I don't know, everybody wants to be involved with the game of golf, but I tell people, this is what Barney Adams told me years and years ago: if you want to play more golf, don't get involved in the golf industry.
So it's so true. You know, I usually, when I'm interviewing reps, I'll find out that, you know, how many times a week they play. And I said, are you interested in playing golf or in selling golf? If you're interested in selling golf and doing business, you're my man or gal. But if you're interested in playing golf, you got the wrong guy, because I'm going to make you the president of your territory, but I'm going to hold you accountable for your presidency. So I don't want to call you every Friday and say, what did you do this week? Your numbers should dictate what you're doing. And we shouldn't have to call you and find out. We should see those numbers and resonating very well for you. Because not only does it mean something to us as a company, but it means something to you, because that's where you make your earnings. And, you know, I've always remembered to keep these reps in mind that the founding tenets of their business should always be a minimal amount of lines that they can make a maximum amount of income on, so they have they don't have a time management problem. I don't want a guy who has 13 lines and down his left arm, he's got to say, want to buy a watch, because he's got 13 watches on that arm. He can't remember when he gets the number 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, and 13. So, and nor does the pro have enough time to go through 13 lines.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought that. The reps, they're so important still to the industry, I would believe.
They're the lifeline.
But how do you – I heard how you coordinate well, how you choose them, but what are you seeing rep-wise in the industry?
Wow, dinosaurs. So the good reps that are left, like, you know, the aging myself, but I've been in this business, fortunately, over 45 years. Guys like myself – who have been in there 32 to 45 are thinking about how they're getting out, what they're going to do to stay in. Mm-hmm. But there's no young kids wanting to grab the baton. The young kids coming out of school all want corporate jobs. They want cars. They want salaries. They want benefits. They don't understand. You know what? We were born and raised at 1099 reps. And our reps are 1099 reps for the most part. You don't have anybody who works for us that's not a 1099 rep. So they need to be smart enough to know how they manage their time between their family and their business, and how they go on the road, and a rep who stays at home to try to Zoom call and phone people is never going to be successful because it's a scratch and sniff business. You need to go out there and people want to touch it and feel it and talk about it and see the passion in your eyes, and they want to know that you care about your product. And the fact, even after you sell it to them, it's not over, Keith, because if Keith calls me and says, hey, Jack, I got three pair that tore this guy, I want it taken care of. From my standpoint as a rep, I want to be there for you, not only for the sale, but even if there's an issue. I don't run from those. And a good rep never runs. In fact, they'll run forward to make sure that never happens, that they know that they'll always be there for the customer.
That's why he's the best. With Jack Curry, we'll be back to start the second half hour after this break.
The Dalai Lama. So I'm on a first tee with him. I give him the driver. He hauls off and whacks one. Big hitter.
The Lama.
Long. Into a 10,000-foot crevice right at the base of this glacier. You know what the Lama says? Gunga Galunga. Gunga, Gunga Galunga.
And we are back to start the second half hour of the show, spending it with Jack Curry, industry insider extraordinaire, a guy who is dealing with a lot of soft goods. I don't understand. I was talking to Mark Simon a couple of weeks ago on this show, the man behind the curtain, as I like to say, the wizard of the PGA Merchandise Show, who there have been sightings, I did see him. But I'm amazed, since we're talking soft goods, how many new, especially women's apparel companies there are. How can there be more, Jack? Tell me.
Wow. It is so true, Keith. Every time I turn the corner, there's another brand coming out. Well, I mean, so the big brands still control the industry. There's no doubt. But the novelty slash specialty niche kind of customers, you know, some of the big brands forgot that there's too many different size women. So your brand may have catered to the smaller fit or the svelte look versus the plus size or mid-size lady, which is your golfer. I mean, listen, you take girls or ladies from 35 to 65, they're not all going to look like a model. They're moms. They're people who have bore children and they're out there working and they're doing things. And guess what? They still want to go out and have fun, but they have to have product that fits them. And some of these larger companies weren't paying attention to that. They were taking men's and just slapping the ladies' size on it and saying, this is ladies. Well, there are ladies' niches that have created like a Bell & Key. I mean, she's done a phenomenal job in designing product to bring to the ladies that fits them, and they feel comfortable looking in there. There's nothing worse than having a lady who's, you know, that mid-size lady who may be an 8 or a 10 and has to be forced into try to fitting in a 6 or a 7. It's not going to happen. They're not going to feel comfortable, so they won't buy it. Well, these other companies that are coming on board, Keith, what I'm seeing is they're finding specialty avenues to design product and fabrics that look good on ladies, feel good on ladies, and aren't necessarily just for golf, by the way. They do lifestyle. So they can go pick their kids up in them. They could go play golf in the morning after they drop their kids off at school. They'll go play with the girls, and that's why 12 holes really is probably the most ladies really want to play. They don't like to play 18 because they have so much to do in the afternoon. They want to be off the golf course to be able to go pick up their kids. But they also can wear that same clothing where the stodgy old country clubber in the old days would have to go in and get changed and get a whole new outfit in. Well, now the ladies don't want to do that. They need to go pick up their kids. So it has to go both sides of the street, on the golf course and lifestyle.
Yeah, I didn't ever realize that yoga pants would become grocery store pants. This is something I did not see.
So
I would have invested in that. Believe me, I would have invested in that.
And, with a cell phone pocket on the side.
Well, exactly. But I have to tell you, like, to your point about these different sized ladies, some should be in them, some should not.
Agreed. And listen, I don't want to be that guy that says that, but we all know that, and that's not going to change. That's been that way for 100 years.
True.
But they do look darn good in them if they wear the correct top on them. Over the top of it.
Yeah. And I didn't say I wasn't a fan. No, absolutely. But that's exactly the phenomenon that you're talking about, really, because Spanx or some of these other companies, you know, just exploded because of that. You know, Lulu is international from the standpoint of, you know, I didn't even have to say the whole name, right?
No, you don't have to. But guess what? You said a name that has been cut into pretty hard because they kept the price up. And they couldn't deliver in some cases. So that's what these niche people that Mark Simon's seeing and you're seeing and I'm seeing, they're growing. It's because those companies are not doing a good job. They're not doing what they need to do. They're catering after they found their customer, they forgot what got them to the dance floor. The people who got their business to the level where they could go expand. And that's one of the things that Dave and Rocky and Joey, I'm really proud of those guys. They've never forgot what got them to the dance floor. Yes, we've expanded into menswear and outdoor and run and the NFL and college. That's great, all wearing our product. But guess what? Our core competency is our PGA of America customer. That is the country clubs, the public clubs, the private clubs, the resorts, everybody that's in the golf industry, you know, the small golf retailers, the Hagen Oaks of the world. If it wasn't for their support, we wouldn't be able to continue to grow. And that's allowed us to be able to expand our business. But we're never going to forget what got us to the dance floor. And some of the big companies do that.
To your point, again, very, very valid point for this industry. If you're talking to Jack Currie, our industry insider, you can tell. I told you the guy knows what he's talking about. This has happened so many times in the golf industry and in business world in general. I mean, how does a company like Sears go out of business, right? You sit there going like,
how about it?
Are you kidding me? You're like over a hundred years old, and now you decide to get, I mean, what?
100 years old with your own brand that you owned, and you gave it away.
Yeah, yeah.
It's sad, just, very sad.
I mean, just those kind of examples, you know. But that's also, you know, a little bit smaller scale. But that's what's going on in the golf industry, and
it is, you know, it is for sure.
You need to just really stay on top of it, and not necessarily stay in your lane, because you know the road sometimes has a couple lanes, right? So you run parallel that way, and that's why I like what 2-under's done, because it's not like, I mean, I saw Saks. With 2 axes,
yep,
and sure. You know, and of course, there's always Tommy John is mentioned. Yeah, there's a lot of competition, so to speak, out there and such. But what you guys have done, and I've followed this story for, I guess it's been at least 5 years, as you mentioned. You know what has happened over this half of a decade has been nothing short of phenomenal, because you keep the base. No pun here, base,
yep.
Part of the business going,
yes.
And yet you have expanded and into other things, like a quarter zip. To me, a quarter zip is almost like standard wear. It's not even have to be on the golf course. Just, I mean, I'll grab my quarter zip of whatever it is. And slap it on if I'm at home or if I'm going out. Depends on, you know, which one I got. I have a few different ones, right? So for different things. But that to me is like a standard piece of men's apparel now.
It is. It is for the businessman too. The business casual man who's worn a suit in the past with a tie, and he's now wearing a sports shirt underneath a quarter zip or a golf shirt under a quarter zip and going to business meetings.
Yeah, I've seen him with the ties too. I mean, I don't know who came up with that.
Absolutely.
Look, but you know, but you got the quarter zip.
Well, we saw him at the show.
Yeah, well, good point. You know, but it's like, I don't know who came up with that is what I'm saying. It's like that actually makes a lot of sense. It looks pretty good. Still looks sharp. And you don't have to have the jacket, which is always for us.
It's more business apropos. It's more relaxed, Keith. I think it allowed people to have a more relaxed attitude in doing the business while they were still serious about their business. They didn't have to feel like it was stiff shirts. You know, it's not a stiff business. Now, this business was built on a navy blue jacket, a white shirt, a striped tie, and a khaki pant. Trust me, and saddle shoes, but. It's a handshake. It still was built on a handshake. And that handshake was because they looked them in the eye to their customers and their vendors, partners, and shook their hand and said, thank you. Both of them. Both sides always said thank you.
Yeah. I mean, you mean business, and that's what it stood by. That's one of the things about our industry. It's the good, the bad, and the ugly, you know? So.
Correct.
And ugly is bled in way too much over the years. But again, I think back to the great Jesse Ortiz, whose father was a great club designer, and then Jesse did the Orlemar extravaganza and all that kind of stuff. And he always called himself a dinosaur. And sometimes, even though Jesse's been long retired, I say, I kind of feel like a dinosaur sometimes myself, from the standpoint of when you're around long enough. You know, it's crazy, but I wouldn't trade anything because I've had the opportunity to meet the greats of the game, whether it's Arnold or whether it's Ely Callaway or what have you. Those that are no longer with us, you know, to have those kind of opportunities are tremendous. Something that the younger folks will never get a chance to
I wouldn't trade it for the world.
Exactly.
To be able to be in a business that's called, in my opinion, is a recreational business. There's no heart surgeries. There's no brain surgeries. Everybody here wants to have fun doing what they're doing. And we're very blessed to be in that capacity to be able to do that with people who enjoy the other side of the fence.
Well, you know, and then I turned the other side of the coin, right, which is the good part, like guys like you. I would never personally have had the opportunity to meet somebody like you just – By chance, if I wasn't involved in the golf, maybe in the golf course, but you know, if I wasn't involved with this great game, I certainly wouldn't have had that opportunity. And I do take that very much to heart, because that's very, very important to me, and it's you know, been one of the things that's been driving for me. People ask about the show all the time. What's your show like? I say, well, it's like Jack and I are at a cocktail party, and you're overhearing our conversation. Because it's not about me, the host. I appreciate that my listeners are fantastic and they respect and appreciate what I have to say, but it's about my guests. Because
it's about my relationships.
Yeah, exactly. Well, true. That is true. There's no question. The relationships are there, because I can reach out and somebody will say, sure, I'll come on, or I'll come back on, or whatever. Like, you're a busy, busy man, you know, running around and stuff. But it's the value that you bring to the table, Jack, which is why not only our relationship is flourished, but
you talk about it. You listen, Keith, it goes both ways for all of us to have this opportunity to share our insights together and talk about it with passion. To me is what it's all about. You know, if we never ever sold another piece of product and we still had the opportunity to talk about our experiences that were successful and those that weren't, we're sharing insights that are going to help each other and others who listen.
Very, very well put. This guy is on fire. He had such a good PGA show in Orlando. Maybe it was the sun. I don't know what happened, but you know,
yeah, it's pretty air conditioned. No sun in that room.
Yeah, I'm telling you, people are like, oh, you don't look very tan. It's like, it's Orlando in January. Usually there's frost in the morning, at least one of the days that you're there. Believe me, people.
It's not the bright light.
Exactly. And then you're inside all day, right? And you go outside.
Yeah,
it's like,
exactly.
And then it's cooled down. You're like, oh, this is Florida?
We're doing rain dances, hoping that the pros don't go play golf and they come inside.
Oh, you're going to go down that avenue, are you? Exactly. The PGA pros, oh, my God, the tire kickers, the guys that are there getting their credits and everything else. And it's like, where were you yesterday? Oh, I played over at Brrrr. Well, how about the other day? Were you there the day before? No, I played over at Brrrr. Did you guys come to work or just, you know, knock the ball around? Everybody likes to knock the ball around. But, yeah.
Well, remember, I'm from Minnesota, or I'm from New Hampshire. It's snowing my ground. I want to see some green grass.
That is true. One of these years, I'm going to play in the Golf Writers Association championship.
Yes,
because, I'm an illustrious member.
Let me know when you do, because we'll sponsor it.
Look at me. Oh yeah, there you go. That would probably work. Yeah.
If you get to play, then we'll make sure that everybody gets a pair.
There you go. Oh wow. Ooh, that's a biggie. All right. This guy's gonna be going nuts, because you know all media types like to have the
Who runs that? Is that Georgia Bailey? Is that the writers?
Yeah, that's not. I don't know if George is doing that one or not. George does the Disney or whatever. I have to check and see who's doing.
He does Disney now.
Yeah, I have to see who's doing it. Yeah, George and I worked a long time ago together at Mutual Radio on NBC. So
yeah. That's how I know George very well.
That's how I know the McNeely extravaganza. So that's so fun. Oh, that's great. That's woo. That goes back a ways. But anyway,
yes, it does.
People are like, mutual. What is that? Mutual respect, mutual understanding. Yeah, no, mutual. Look it up. Look it up, youngins.
That's right.
From that standpoint. Oh, that's so funny. But no, it's you know, when you're working, it's like even doing this show. When you're working, you can't get out on the golf course. And it's sad, but true. And you try to make time
And there's a place for it. And every time I get lucky. So last week I hadn't played. Obviously it was cold and it was ugly. And prepping for all these shows and getting ready to do that show. And I was lucky that Sunday. It was buddy. I said, hey, you know, we got an opening. You want to golf 9-10? I said, all right. So I was in the last group and played and with a bunch of boys and we had a blast.
Hey, for a guy that's coming back from back surgery, not to tell private stories on Jack Curry, you're doing pretty good, apparently.
Thank you. Yeah, I feel very confident that the back surgery was successful. We talked about the age part of it, but it's definitely crept in there and slowed me down a little bit, but all's good. I feel very blessed there, too. The doc did a phenomenal job.
Yeah, the key is you got to keep moving, Jack. That's
yes,
I forgot who said that, but I buy into that every day. And that's that's what's great about our game is people are able to do that, and the families that are playing golf, and the sons and daughters and the mothers and the fathers and you know in any combination
it is. Well, we want these kids playing, right? I mean, now the moms are bringing the kids, and the kids are playing while moms are playing. I just our rep Devin Holden. In Ohio has two young boys. So she played with the oldest son and her husband, who's a golf pro as well, played with the younger son. She came in, she ended up tied for second and he ended up sixth. And he was sixth with a 6-year-old and she was second with a 9-year-old.
Yeah, those are good ages right there. Six and nine. Yeah, that's
amazing. Two handsome little devils. They're just amazing.
Yeah, somebody was asking me recently. He was talking to Bob Totsky, and I'm so glad he was honored in Orlando. But, you know, about what the age is for, because they were like, my kid's three. Is it two? He said, that might be a little young, maybe 5 or 6. But, come together. But you can still putt. This is the other thing.
I had a 3-year-old. Jay was 3 years old. We lived in California. I cut down a 7-iron and a putter, and he would meet me every Saturday and Sunday when I would play with the guys in the morning. He would meet me at 12:30, go to the pool with his mom in the morning, swim a little bit, get changed, and put his golf clothing on. And I'd take him to this little net because it was his landlocked. We didn't have a range. It was a net with a mat. And let him warm up a few times. And the pro took a picture, and he said, this kid can get the club to the top at 3. Look out. And I made him get in the cart with me. We would go play 9 holes. He would get in the cart with me. I wouldn't let him hit a ball until he got to the 150 marker. And I taught him, I said, you hit the ball from that 150 marker till you get to the green. If you go in the bunker, you pull a rake. You do not hit out of the bunker with the club I gave you. You pull it out, and you chip with it, and you putt with it. And he grew up with that club, those clubs in his hand, and he's a PGA pro today.
See, look at this guy. He thought he was only good at soft goods and the inanimate objects, but apparently he's good with people as well. Well, we know that, otherwise we wouldn't have him on the show. It's Jack Curry, and Jack is not only our industry insider, but this guy is you hear how full of stuff he is. He has it going on, and we are headed to the final break, and we come back. Curry's always up to something. We're going to find out or let you know what he's also involved with in the golf industry after this break. We'll be right back.
All right, this is Trey Cool from Green Day, and we're teeing it up with Keith Jones like we always do. It's a habit we can't stop.
Laid it out before we went to the break about what Curry is up to now, and there's always something. Okay, you know, you can't keep your hands just in one piece of the cake. You got to get all over the place and, you know, you spread yourself. Don't spread it too thin, but you always are working on new products in the product line, and got a chance to see a little of that in Orlando.
Did. And, you know, it, for 6 years, I've been wearing a product called Mission Belt. And there's a bunch of belts in this industry, of course, and they've been there for a long, long time. But this company started in 2014. They went on Shark Tank, and they got Damon John to be their partner. He's a silent partner today. They give $1 for every belt sold to feed the hungry. And they've donated $7.5 million to the hungry. To feed them. And I've been wearing this belt for 6 years. And I kept saying to a couple of the guys and gals that I had met at different shows, who's running your sales? And they said, well, this is how we do it. And it just didn't seem as organized as it could be or as successful as it could be in certain segments of the market, golf, menswear, and or outdoor slash run. Now, not that runners are going to wear belts, but they do wear them after they run. But, I approached this company last year and said to them, we'd be very interested. I sent them a proposal. I said, we'd be very interested in running your sales and sales management. We can bring reps to the fold. We can teach them. We can organize you. We can build your business. And Connor MacArthur is the CFO, and he's a nice young man. And he said at that time, we're not interested. I said, that's fine. If any day in the future you are, please reach out to us. That was in March. In September of 2025, he reached back out and he says, we want to rethink this discussion. I said, okay. And we just signed a deal in December, and we're taking over sales and sales management for Mission Belt, based out of Utah, Salt Lake City area. It's Orem, Utah, actually. And they, like I said, they're very successful in the fact that they've developed a product that is a one-size-fits-all ratchet-style belt that is made in different materials. They make it in full grain leather. They make it in nylon. They make it in canvas. They make it in suede. They make it with an Italian leather even. As we got into the menswear business, they went to Milan and a bunch of different cities in Italy and found out that they needed to do Italian leather, but they can't do Italian leather at $400. They wanted to do an Italian leather belt at $80 retail, which they did.
Wow.
So they've got price points that are, you know, 40, 50, and 80, but all different sizes. They got a 40 millimeter, which is the standard belt width for men. They have a 35 millimeter for women, and they have a 30 for kids. And they have a kids, and they do some licensing. They do custom logoing for events and tournaments and country club logos. So they really know they've got a lot of I's dotted, but the T's aren't all crossed. So the Currys are coming on board, have come on board at the show. We came on board, and we're trying to cross their T's for them. And we've already hired 22 new reps in the golf industry and about six others combined in men's and outdoor so far. And we're going to continue to grow their business. And I believe that we'll have a mutual respect and success ratio that we're all going to be very pleased with.
I told you he's always up to something. There you go. I did see those belts. So why did you come about wearing it 6 years ago?
So I was at one of the shows, and a guy named Lucas, who works with the company still and handles a lot of their design and stuff, was at the show. And he was pretty close to us, and we were shooting a breeze one morning before the customers came in, because we get there early and the customers came in at 9. We were there at 7:45. We're talking about their products, what they do, and where they market it. And I was talking about Two Under. And I said, feel this T-shirt. Do you like this? He said, oh, my God, this is beautiful. I said, what size do you wear? He told me. He said, I'll trade you a belt for a T-shirt. And that's where it started.
One of the best trades ever. Good job.
bartering in the golf business has always been a part of the industry.
that's
the rest is history.
That's so funny you say that as we close out the show, Jack. It's always great to spend time with you, and it just makes me reflect back on all the people that try to take stuff like shafts out of the golf. You're not supposed to sell any product. You're not supposed to give any product away. And people are just waiting, especially come Friday. The bags are out, and it's insane. And never mind. That's a story for another day.
Different subject.
Exactly right. But Jack's coming back on. Don't worry about that. We'll check with him throughout the year. But we were just out of time. Thanks to Jack Curry once again, two under. But get out there and practice your game. Practice. Take your game to the next level, and we will talk to you next week. Take care.